and we need to march on the Capitol today.
We are going to take our country back.
We're coming for you, and we're going to have a good time doing it.
Let's have trial by combat.
You'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength. We're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you to the Capitol.
In 2 hours, this woman will be dead.
We are now walking down the inaugural path to the Capitol building.
Oh, there we go.
The U.S. Capitol has been breached. Five minutes since Capitol breach.
I call on President Trump to go on national television now and demand an end to this siege.
You are not, you believe, you
At least one improvised explosive device has been found on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol.
Repeatedly being told by the National Guard at the national level that we did not have authorization.
We love you. You're very special. Our incredible journey is only just beginning.
They're taking what you're saying to them, and they're hoping that you are what you talk. Let's be about everything we drop, because we're going to get tested on it. If the people on the street don't test us on it, God's going to test us.
Kill the Mockingbird, Truth or Report, with Sean Chris and Sebastian Farr.
Kick his ass, Seabass!
Wake up!
Wake up, America!
Wake the fuck up! We'll get fucked the fuck up!
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck? The
biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, I found that pretty funny too. It's like, I feel like a lot of these people have a pretty short-term memory. Like, to compare the two, like 9/11 to what happened on January 6th, like, It's completely like childish or like playground insult level intellect, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Most definitely. That's what I was thinking. I was like, well, they're obviously playing games. You could see that because right away they compared the two protests. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get to the quick news. Like, I don't know if you've seen, like, there was the last night, they had the Vatican blackout. They had the power outage in Pakistan and Berlin.
So, yeah, and also Paris, too. I guess the Eiffel Tower went dark as well.
Right.
It's very, very coincidental that the power goes out in all three, four of these major places around the world, kind of around the same time period. And then we're getting kind of news. I heard some rumors that the Pope was arrested. I don't know how true that is. I think Lynn Wood tweeted or posted that on Parler, for what I saw, and Republican. You see tons of them. And they're the ones that have all the real power. You know, they always seem to vote together in a pretty solid block when it really comes down to something important, like, you know, the spending bill and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, I was so hyped about what happened. Remember, I hit you up, like, oh, man, the Capitol, I really want to talk about. Then so many other things, like, happened. Like, that's why, like, the whole thing with Trump, like, and now he's officially off of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Apple, Google, YouTube, TikTok, Reddit, Snapchat, Shopify or something like that. That's, like, selling product. They shut down two of his stores.
Yeah.
Pinterest. And it's like, dang, man. Like, it. And I know a lot of the people on the left are cheering it on, but I'm like, man, you know that means you're next, man. That means, like, you're next.
And there's been mass purges of, like, a wide range of accounts across various social media platforms in the past couple of days going along with this. So it's not just Trump. It's a bunch of people. And it's funny when people are arguing, like, oh, it's a private company. You know, the government's not infringing on Donald Trump's free speech, but it's such a monopoly, especially in these kind of centralized social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and IG falls under the Facebook umbrella. You know, it is almost a wide enough audience and umbrella to, like, reach everyone that I think it is infringing on free speech for sure, especially when they deplatform from people from such a popular platform.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, especially, well, now, like, that's why it went even further. So, like, you're like, okay, dang, man, I didn't even think they could do all that. Then, what's it called? The Firefox or whatever, that Mozilla, they came out and they're saying, like, well, we don't think that's enough. They think, like, deplatforming is not enough. They think this is what they think is needed. Additional precision and specific actions must also be taken. Reveal who is paying for advertisements, how much they are paying, who is being targeted. Commitment to meaningful transparency of platform. Algorithms so we know how and what content is being amplified to whom and associates impact. Man, that's going to be such an easy deal for them that, like, once they know how, like, they can have total control of that, they can sell you, like, all right, well, look, you want, like, everything's going to go through them, so you're going to have to buy to get your elevated or go by the rules.
Yep, exactly. And you kind of seen that, too, with the latest leverage from Google over Parler. They're trying to get them to, you know, start censoring their own platform. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to go through the, you know, the Apple Store or the Play Store market.
And then even worse.
Which is pretty worrying. You know, this is going beyond just censoring the president. This is going to, like, you know, thought police, basically.
Yeah. Well, even worse, it's a monopolization. Because, look, how are you going to be able to attack your competitor? Like, that's their competitor. And then they're like, oh, we're not going to help you. And they use their influence so they can, because they're already in the in crowd. But the thing is, like, yeah, and I heard Soros owns Parler, too. Like, I think it's all, like, in retro. It's just another move to push.
Parler isn't ideal. I don't really like it that much myself.
Yeah, I'm on there, but I'm not really on there. But I'm just saying, like, what they're doing to me is all of this is just, like, basically pushing that whole narrative, the new war on domestic terrorists. Like, that's the thing, what we've been talking about. Like, I've been, like, pushing this for a while, and then with that, the Nashville incident, I was like, man, this is even more going to that narrative. And then this is just lines up so perfectly how easily everybody just walked in, how they let them walk in. Like, it's so weird that they were walking through the ropes. Like, you know.
Yep.
It's like
there. I mean, there was people taking selfies with D.C. Capitol Police inside the halls of the Capitol building. Like, And there's plenty of video you've seen, like, police letting people through after they kind of made it through in certain other areas, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to tell because, you know, nothing's timestamped in all these videos. You can't tell what is going on at what time.
Well, I heard a lot of arguments, you know, about, like, all the difference in use of force. Well, first of all, if you saw where there was big crowds and big crowds of cops, the cops were fighting each other. They were both fighting each other, right? But then in some instances, I was like, well, of course they didn't fight them. I was like, when there's 50 in one cop, like, you think they're going to fight 50 people? No, they're going to run. Like, of course, right? You're going to wait until you get some backup. So I think, like, to me, it was all a setup. Like, how did you not? Okay, you've known about this for over a month and a half, and you did, and you had nothing there. Like, you had just, like, very little security. That seems set up. Like, they wanted this to happen because then it pushes. Now all these legislation comes out and be like, oh, here we go. Here we go. We got another one.
And it seems like they had a lot of this stuff lined up as well. Like, looking at the dating on some of these bills that they're pushing through for domestic terrorism charge, you know, legislation.
Yeah. I got this off Tucker because I really like what Glenn Greenwald said. We'll try to run through this real quick, see what
first
he says.
News. Just go days after Donald Trump called for breaking up the big tech monopolies in order to preserve democracy, the big tech monopolies have silenced him. Twitter has just announced the sitting president has been banned permanently from the platform that is his primary means of public communication. Of course, they waited until the Democratic Party took power and they shut it down. They are in control now. Silicon Valley oligarchs are more powerful than the president of the United States, and they want you to know it. Everywhere, the assault on speech accelerates. Glenn Greenwald is an independent journalist, co-founder of The Intercept, now found on Substack. We're happy to have him on tonight. You are a longstanding civil libertarian. Glenn, thanks for joining us. Please assess what you're seeing now in the United States.
Well, one thing I think that we're clearly seeing is the initiation of a new war on terror, which I don't say lightly. I say that because the Biden administration, what will be the Biden administration in about a week, is saying explicitly that they want, first of all, a new law to further criminalize domestic terrorism, even though every act that constitutes domestic terrorism is already criminalized. What they want to do is increase their power to monitor political groups, to infiltrate them, to criminalize activities that currently are not criminalized, nor should they be, whether it be advocacy of speech or other things. They're saying they want a new law, similar to the way that the 9/11 attack and the emotions surrounding it was instantly seized upon to institute a whole series of new laws that endure to this very day. Secondly, they are explicitly saying that they believe that domestic terrorism, so this war on terror, is not going to be directed at foreign non-state actors or terrorist groups or foreign countries like China or Iran or Russia. It's going to be directed inward, is the greatest threat to national security. And we've talked about this before, that this is what they're likely going to do because they have been focused for so long, media outlets have, the Democratic Party has, on Donald Trump and increasing fear levels about him. That's been the key to their profits and their power. What will happen once he's gone? The strategy has always been clear: to inflate the risk of what they call white supremacist terrorism, which increasingly means nothing more than being a Trump supporter, and then treating people in the United States who fall into that category the way you treat terrorists. You monitor them, you surveil them, you restrain them, you detain them. And this is what they're saying explicitly. And the Silicon Valley component of this is particularly menacing, Tucker, because these companies have greater power than any corporations in the history of the world, not just wealth, but the amount of data that they have on us and now the control that they exercise over our political discourse. A tiny handful of tech oligarchs are more powerful than any nation state. They determine what we can hear, what we can speak, what is true and what is false, with zero accountability and zero transparency. They overwhelmingly donated to the Democratic Party and support the Democratic Party, are part of that coalition. And Jennifer Palmieri, a top-level, long-term advisor to the Clintons, boasted on Twitter that the reason that Facebook and Silicon Valley are now censoring the enemies of the Democratic Party is because they know the Democrats are now in control of the key committees and have to do their bidding.
Yeah, I know that was a long clip, but he had a lot to unpack, and I thought he attacked everything. I think we should start, like, going into the whole, like, those bills that we both, like, kind of, it's crazy because you came up with one bill and I came up with the other. And I think that's what we're going at is, is we're going into this new phase. It's the war on drugs, then the war on terror. Now it's going to be the war on domestic terrorists. Like, so, and then people think, well, that's good, right? Like, we don't want those. But the thing is, the term is very broad. It's pretty much whoever's the enemy of the state and whoever's against the agenda that they're trying to push forward.
Oh, yeah. It's tied to, like, such broad language. Like, anyone who commits a hate crime is basically under the same, label as a domestic terrorist to threats against the state or politicians or anything. So, I mean, it's kind of already been in place like that, but they're legislating to kind of expand and normalize these levels of state power, I think.
Yeah, more like kind of centralize it. So where okay, you do this, you pass, it's going to be like a 5-point system or something. You got 3 points, you're in, you know what I mean? You're on this side, you're bad, you know what I mean? Just to kind of easily divide it.
It's just a bigger power grab by the state, kind of having more leverage and control over the people. You saw this with the Patriot Act after 9/11, or the Unpatriot Act, as I like to call it. It's just a power grab, and they never release these powers because the war never ends.
That's what I'm saying. And so, like, now everybody's riled up. They got people split, because I've talked to both people are split pretty much. I don't know about you, if you talk to people, like, either people are like, are like kind of happy that people went into the Capitol, and then there's the other people that are like super like, this is unbelievable, the worst thing ever in America, like, what are we gonna do, like, just on this brink of like this action, you know what I mean, like this level of threat to each other, like, it's really increasing. Like, it started with the lockdowns and snitching on each other for the lockdowns, and now it's become to like fear your neighbor.
Yeah, it's escalating on both sides, the language. I feel like it's kind of more heightened on the left. They're saying, like, this is the worst thing that ever happened, like, storming the Capitol. But there's been several times over even the past couple of years where AOC had a protest against Pelosi, and she had, like, 53 people that were arrested during those. And there was no talk of domestic terrorism or anything, The people occupying federal and state buildings is kind of it's fairly frequent tradition in this country, I'd say.
Well, how I have, the article I pushed to you too, like, at the same time, like, why this is going on, which has been going on for like 80 days or something like that, maybe longer, in Portland, they're trying to occupy police stations every night and courthouses every night, which is like, this, all I'm saying is be consistent. If you want them to go get, like, what, you can't be like, oh, well, they're not my team, so I don't want them. You know what I mean? Like, what do you want? Yeah. You can't have both ways. You can't be like, oh, we can antagonize and do our thing and to get whatever we want, but nobody else can.
Yeah, there's a lot of hypocrisy there, especially like looking back at the year that has passed. There was a ton of long-term violence over several months across dozens, if not more, cities in this country, and we see one event and one day, it was the federal Capitol building. But I feel like it's kind of comparing apples to oranges a little bit, but there needs to be equal kind of rhetoric for both sides. It's very targeted on just the right.
Well, to me, what it proves is that they think they are our rulers. Because think about it. When people's businesses, your home, and all that shit was getting burnt down and getting smashed up, what happened? They were like, you know what? You got to deal with it. But now when it's on their doorstep, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
When they're threatened, when they're seeing it happen to them.
Hey, I don't like this so much. I'm like, man. So, even with that, so you had that H.R. 3106, domestic and international terrorism, which pretty much funnels the terror, what blankets a terrorist, the same thing as a domestic terrorist, but like obviously with an American citizen. And then they're trying to do another one, the H.R. 4192, confronting the threat to domestic terrorist acts. And even the ACLU had a statement on that one. They were like, in this letter to the U.S. House Judicial Committee, the ACLU urged members to oppose H.R. 4192, confronting the threat of domestic terrorism acts by relieving and broadening domestic terrorism authorities H.R. 4192 would unnecessarily expand law enforcement authorities to target and discriminate against the very community Congress is seeking to protect, the additional crimes, criminal penalties, and expansion of death penalties, et cetera, et cetera. So just like what you were saying, they know that, like, dang, they're going to be able to – it's going to be like gang enhancement. They were able to do this with gang enhancement in like, California and I think maybe, like, New York and other states like that. So if you do a crime and you're in a gang, they're saying that, like, well, you're contributing to that gang, almost like a racketeering charge. And what they do is they call it gang enhancement. So if you get do a crime and it's only a year crime, you get plus 10. So,
yeah,
like, it's all about keeping people in prisons. And, like, people don't get that because right now they cheer it on, because just like they did with Alex Jones, you know, getting off YouTube and all this. They're cheering all these people on, but they don't get it. You're next.
Yeah. It really is. It's like as soon as you kind of break out of the, you know, establishment thought bubble, you will feel this hammer of censorship. But going back to that, it's also there in the language of some of those bills, they're linking it to social media and, you know, online groupings. So it's like you can be linked with people you've never met.
Yeah.
If you have like the wrong sort of dialogue in those groups. So it's just something to be really aware of with what you're doing online, I would say.
Oh, for sure. Like, I think that, like, a lot of people just, like, everybody has their own perception of everything, right? So everybody sees something, and then we try to broadcast onto people. So now we're trying to put this whole thing of, like, oh, well, this happened. All I hear nowadays is, like, oh, well, what about this or what about that? And we're never going to end that. And what drives me crazy is that we're fighting over these motherfuckers that don't even know our motherfucking names or these sides, and we know damn well they're not going to pass any legislation that is going to benefit us. You know what I mean? We're going to get crumbs again, yeah. And we accept that on both sides regardless, and we're still arguing, and we're fighting each other again, and what's going to happen? Who's going to get penalized? We are. That's what I don't understand why people don't get. Like, it's not about red, blue, whatever side, because there's too many ideologies in the United States of America. This whole left-right is not a real thing. You know what I mean? There's too many.
Yeah, it's all theater, really.
Yeah, and we buy it. Why do we keep playing this game? Like, are we going to play it forever? It's not about, like, storming shit or anything. I'm talking about, like, just, like, all right, enough is enough. Like, either don't pay attention to it and we just help each other, or we just go, like, or we just accept. I don't know, man. We keep playing this stupid game. It's like, why do we keep playing this stupid game when we all know?
Yeah, I'd say, like, don't cut yourself off entirely from, like, the politics that's kind of the, you know, horse and pony show. Pay attention locally, especially, to what's going on in your area. And maybe get involved if you really think, like, you be the change you see in the want to see in the world. That's asking a lot. I know. I've always kind of.
Yeah, but I'm saying you don't even have to
want to do that, and I don't think I would.
And try to look for politicians that are not like that. We need to start putting politicians that are not Republican or Democrat. We need new, like something new. Who cares what a party is? Like, the DNC and the GOP are way too huge, man. They're like these huge money filtering schemes. You know what I mean? They need to be broken up and ended.
I feel like they kind of just, you know, play the game back and forth, and it's like all for show. I mean, Lindsey Graham was fist bumping Kamala Harris a few days after the election, so there you go. Even though he was calling for, you know, an audit of the vote or whatever.
Yeah.
Half-heartedly, but it's all a game. Like, behind the scenes, they're all buddies.
Oh, for sure. Like, that's what, like, even what I would say when Trump was in office, I was like, Pelosi's talking all this about Trump, but she's passing all his legislation. It's been going on. Like, it's always theater. Like, we think we know what's going on because we heard a source, and now it's, like, so hard to really know because information's so diluted and so out everywhere. It's all over the place. You don't really know. Like, I've heard, like, 10 different types of theories on what happened at the Capitol. You know what I mean? And what I say is this, man, why don't people break it down simple? Because obviously we still got to live in this country. Like, people act like, oh, we're going to, like, just get rid of somebody. Like, I mean, that's the only choice, is either get rid of the people or we're going to have to figure out a way to live together, right? That's the only options. And people got to make it simple. And so what you do is you go, well, why were those people so angry? And they go, oh, because they're white supremacists. That's not why they're so angry. That's what people don't understand. People don't even understand that a lot of people that voted for Trump also voted for Obama. It's not about the politician. At this point, people don't know what to do, because what else do you do? So voting doesn't work. It's not about a corrupt election. You're just like, what do I do? It's back to the same old, and nothing's going to change.
Yeah. I mean, always kind of the same policies have been going on for, you know, two decades now. We've been in ongoing foreign wars and, you know, the ongoing war on terror, the endless war, as they say. It's all hypocrisy, you know. They argue over domestic policy, but get along fine with anything that goes with the military-industrial complex's agenda.
Yeah, and then what happened, too, and why you see a lot of, like, hostility towards each other, too, is because other races in this country, other cultures in this country have been treated shittier. So then some of the other now some of the people that were not as treated shitty are being treated shitty. And the other people are like, well, shit, man, fuck you, man. I've been like that. So you know what I'm saying? So it causes even more conflict. So, of course, they're not going to feel empathy for you if you're like, I'm already dealing with worse shit than that. You know what I mean? So it's like hard to get people on the same level of like seeing that like we have the same common goal, regardless of like this, that we're picking up all these things, but we don't look at what like actually makes us more the same.
Yeah, that's true. It's always about like
our differences,
hot topics, and you know, divide and conquer issues, instead of like finding common ground and working together where we can. But you know,
exactly. Like, I find it ironic that we're supposed to...
It's all theater anyways. They're not going to...
Yeah.
They never focus on those issues. You know, the media doesn't talk about it. They always focus on... How often do you hear good stories in the news, you know, for example?
Well, here's a perfect example. Because this is a perfect opportunity, right? They had that whole, like, what's it called? Forced to vote. The whole Jimmy Dore thing where he was forcing them, trying to force a Medicare for all vote. I was like, okay, it was a pretty good movement, got people going. And AOC was like, you know, we can't because, you know, this, and that. This is not the time. Because what he was saying is, right now you have leverage. He's all 15 people, and we have 15 people in the Progressive Caucus. If 15 people withhold their votes, Nancy Pelosi won't be speaker. So tell her if she does not force a vote for Medicare for all, then you will not vote for her. And then it was a big old thing on Twitter for like a few weeks. And guess what? They just voted for her. And they were like, nah. And those people, and the thing that I said is like, look, I'm not for Medicare for all, right? But those people voted, their constituents voted for them wanting Medicare for all. And we're hoping that they were going to push for that because that's what they advocated for when they were running, right? And then now they instantly got power and they had leverage and they refused to use it. Because they're like, oh, I got to worry about if I can, like, I got to not make waves. No, you're not there to be there for 40, 50 years. You're there to go fix what we got to get fixed. And that's the problem. And nobody wants to admit it. So they find other little loopholes like, oh, well, this is a problem. Like of course, those are problems that are always going to exist. So they use these problems that are always going to exist so we can keep fighting over it and nothing gets done. And they get to get their job, have their health insurance, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd say pay attention to that space in the future, you know, who gets committee appointments, you know, from that, what's it called, the squad, at various points throughout the upcoming years. I think they sold out. You know, that Medicare for all vote would be too contentious, and I just think the Democrats are not really trying to fight that battle right now.
Oh, yeah, they're not. Not at all. Like, I think that they used it because they knew people would get behind it because it's helping people, it's providing Medicaid, you know what I mean? Like, in theory, it sounds good. My thing is just, like, why do I want the government to be in charge of another thing when they couldn't even do the other things good? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they've shown me that they're not capable. Like, that's why we got to figure shit out ourselves. Like, I keep telling people, like, we have no choice anymore. All their only options are more authoritarianism. That's their only. That's all they had. They know. They're like, well, let's get more rules. Let's have less privacy, because you know somebody did this. I was like, well, first of all, why didn't you prepare? Why didn't you have the National Guard, like I said, at the Capitol? Because in 2007, when a bunch of vets all protested the Iraq War, they had people all out there. You know what I'm saying? In every single protest. So that's what, to me, seems like something was done intentionally. There was something intentional. Yeah. And you've seen all the videos of gates opening for protesters, doors open. Like, I would argue if I had a lawyer, like, if I didn't damage anything, be like, well, I didn't trespass because the door was open.
Yeah. There was a few instances where the police kind of were letting people walk through and kind of there was that one. Did you see that clip where the officer was running up the stairs and there was like a crowd behind him and he was kind of making a big show of like trying to stand up to them. But he just kept running away. And it's like these guys are I just felt like it was just there was a lot of accusations. Now I'm hearing from articles on the like left wing media saying there was a lot of cops involved with those like from out of state.
Yeah, I've heard that getting fired or getting suspended.
And there's investigations ongoing for that. I don't know. It feels a lot like a setup just to justify this domestic terrorism shit.
Yeah, you know? and like I said, they're gonna use it on. They're not gonna just use it against like right wing. They're gonna do it against left wing. Every organization. Like, that's why I keep telling people, I'm like, I don't know why the Trump people, the BLM people, the Antifa people, the militia people, anybody that's, like, all these other groups that are trying to fight, why are you guys not talking to each other and trying to figure out something? Because, obviously, you haven't realized that the people are the power. That doesn't mean that you have to do everything. You know what I mean? You have to make some kind of alliances with each other. Obviously, you don't have the same philosophies, but you guys got to figure it out. Because if you don't, then it's more rules that fucks everybody up. That's it. It's plain and simple. Nothing we could do about it. Like, you know what I mean? So we have to figure out ourselves. And that's why I don't understand why these leaders aren't reaching out to each other. But I think it's just so, like, people don't know how to, especially the younger generations, they don't know how to socialize as easily. So I think, like, you and some of the older people are too proud. So, like, there's nobody building the bridge. You know what I mean? Someone has to build the bridge. Someone has to take that. And it has to be more than just one. You know, people got to start building bridges regardless. Like, I see people all the time. They'll be, like, telling me this, and that. It don't matter, man. It's still we got to figure it out, right? Like, we can say, oh, well, this is that or this is that, right? But at this end of the day, what do you want to do? You want to make a decent living and have a house, have, you know what I mean, all your things together? It's me too. So the only way we're going to get there is if we figure out a way for these people to get their boot off our neck and keep pushing.
Yeah. It's, there's a lot of, like, you know, the hyper-intensive, you know, government overreach of, like, the COVID response is kind of a big connection with all of this, too. And it comes mostly from blue states, as you kind of see across the board, really.
And that's what I mean. Like, what's the point, like, what... You see the narrative, right? Like, everything I watch on all this, like, you know, like, we could breeze through some of these. Like, we got the pilot that threatened to land the plane because people were chanting USA. You know what I mean? You got the teachers that are changing the students' lessons and saying, like, hey, what about this and that? Like, I agree in some cases. Like, that's what I don't understand is because people go, oh, well, they think that you either thought this or you thought that. I'm like, that's not true because I said the same thing with every single protest that happened. There was plenty of incidents when I seen cops way out of line, just killing protesters in the BLM protests throughout this whole summer and all that. You know what I mean? Like, and the same thing, it was going both back and forth because you got to understand, because people don't want to look at it as a human situation. You have all these elements that are going on. Like, even if I was in a crowd and I didn't want to be in a riot, right? But say I was at a protest and things got out of control, who's to say that I wouldn't get violent? Not because I'm trying to be violent, because you don't know what's going on. So I think that we all paint this picture of like, oh, they're rioters or they're this on any side, right? Obviously, there's always going to be people that are going to be opportunists. On all sides, like either whether they're Q people, Antifa people, whatever you want to call them, right? You know what I mean? It doesn't matter because people are going to be like, and just dumb people. Like, there's just dumb people that are like, yeah, like they just do dumb shit. Like,
yeah. The saying goes is like, a person is intelligent, but a crowd of people are very dumb.
Yeah.
And when you get caught up in that crowd environment and that mob mentality, it's very easy to get, you know, hyped up and make dumb decisions.
Oh, for sure.
And we see it all over both sides. I think we saw that plenty on January 6th. You know, they kind of went with it. People were mobbing through the police lines, whether the police were letting them or not. They're going with it because they just went with the crowd.
Yeah. And like,
I mean, you saw, did you see that one meme? It was like the old lady that made it inside of the Capitol building. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, which is, and like I said, it was just weird. Like they shouldn't have been able to get in. And the reason they were is because they were let in.
Like, imagine spending like as much as we do on our military and our, you know,
after 9/11
defense,
and Homeland Security,
after 9/11, and then they just mobbed in a 1 hour period.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just seems like some suspect. And that's the thing that I know people are cheering, but I try to warn them, but they don't really listen. I'm like, you know, they're coming after you guys next, meaning the other organizations, like my friends that are like, you know, really against Trump. And they got, and I'm like, that's cool, but like, watch it, man, because once they unroll something, they're all not going to just use it on, they're going to use it on everybody. You know what I mean? That's not in the elite class.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
Any group that forms that they see as a threat will be, you know, put under that domestic terrorism label.
Oh, for sure. Here's like, what's it called? What do I got? I think I got a clip over here. Let me see what I can find. Let's play that one you were talking about. What's this one?
You know, can we just accept that the post 9/11 era is over? We are in a new era, right? We had a generational event with the you know, infiltration of the Capitol, and the era of the primary threats to the United States being external, right? Threats coming from abroad, from foreign terrorist organizations, from China, from Russia, they're still serious. But the single greatest national security threat right now is our internal division. It's the threat of domestic terrorism. It's that polarization that threatens our democracy. And we've had a visual representation of that 2 days ago. So to me, yes, I'm worried about external threats, but when the Biden administration comes in, I urge them and everyone else to understand that the greatest threat to us now is internal. And if we do not do that work of trying to reconnect those two Americas, the threats are not going to have to come from outside.
That's Representative Elisa Slotin or whatever. She's a representative. She's pushing that. That's what I'm saying. They're pushing that whole same agenda. This is my point. Like, people buy it because of their bias. And they go, oh, you know, like, yeah, well, that guy is an asshole. There is white supremacy. There is white supremacists, but there's not as many as people think. Like, I remember in Cali, like, what was it, like, in Orange County? I think it was, like, 7 years ago, maybe a little bit more. And they try to have a KKK rally up. There was more people out there than the people that came. There was, like, 10 KKK people or whatever the hell the group was, right? And they just got beat up, and they left. And then I was like, there wasn't this presence, but what I think people are they're dividing us, and then people don't see it. Like, it's the same plan of Patriot Act. It's the same plan that after 9/11. It's the same push to keep people in fear of each other. I just don't get that part.
Well, I mean, you're seeing a lot of the rhetoric out of the, you know, mainstream media and the left is, you know, every person that broke into the Capitol building's a terrorist, you know, including some long-haired dude with a beard who smoked a blunt in like the main rotunda. it's ridiculous. But there's been this rhetoric even before January 6th where they were saying, you know, the hardcore Trump base are terrorists. They are domestic terrorists. The language has been used for a while now.
Because you got to ask yourself, like, once they say they start rounding up Trump supporters and doing whatever they want, right? Like, to them like that, like, and put in whatever, right? Then when they're done with them, who do you think that you think it's going to stop? No, because now they built a machine. It's like the military industrial complex. Once you started going to wars and building all these, investing, and now you have factories and the whole economy is based on if you make X amount of tanks or this many ballistic missiles or whatever, you know what I mean? We really got
it. You know, continue along just like the prison industrial complex, the war on drugs. You know, they seemingly make a lot of money, you know, on the back end of these deals across the board, politicians to contractors to private businesses. It's interesting for sure, but we see a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, and then, like, I think what we got to watch is that one that in Washington, the Washington legislator, National Guard protest plan. I think that's going to be something. I think there's going to be, like, Proud Boys attending. And It's just like, to me, it's just a bunch of stupid shit. Like, people won't see it. They're going to always see their tribe no matter what. Like, and it's funny to me that people get more mad at me for not having a tribe. And then people try to say things without knowing anything about you, because that's all we know, because they're so disconnected with themselves. They didn't have to really interact with people. Like, being in an older generation, people had to really interact with people. You had to go and be you. It didn't matter who you were, because if you didn't, you were either getting your ass kicked, you know what I'm saying, or they're gonna be like, oh, you're the friend, and they're gonna pass you the blunt. That's just how it went. And people don't like respect all these things. Now they get in these little echo chambers, especially this last past year of having people stuck at home, and now they're only seeing like you know, these certain posts, or they see memes, and you're like, dude, like, first of all, just think about when you see someone's relationship on Facebook, all these social networks. They could put as many pictures as they want and saying they're happy and this and that. You still don't know. Like, we see these images online and this personalities, and we think that's the real person. And then we try to attack, and then we get in stuck into these online personalities. And I think that now we're bringing these online personalities outdoors, and it's where you would be unreasonable, without empathy, without understanding, without trying to unite or do anything. That just like, oh, this is what I think, and that's it. There's no open-mindedness, no, because you didn't have to adapt. You weren't forced to. But being in circles where you have to meet people or have to do things together because you have no choice, that's what we need to get back to.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like there's a lot lost when there's not a face-to-face communication. There's a lot of nuance of, like, reading other people's body language or facial expression. You lose a lot when it's just, text-to-text, digital exchange of thoughts, you know. It becomes, you know, you can't detect sarcasm. You can't really detect humor online unless it's, like, very spelled out. So, I think with 2020 and everyone being kind of socially distanced and isolated, it's hyper-partisanized everyone.
For sure, man. It really did. But we'll see how it keeps progressing. I think there's been also people connecting. I mean, like, even people, like, you plant a seed, you talk to people. They may not agree with you at the moment, but if you let them know that the door's open, I think they'll always come back. You know what I mean? The door's open. They'll come back, and then at that time, that's what's up to us, to adjust to other people and try to make it easier. Like, be like, it's not about thinking the same thing. That's the problem, is that people think they could force ideas onto each other, and that's not how it works. We just got to be acceptance of, like, okay, look, I accept this, I accept that, and go down that you're a human, and I'll help you. But other than that, we don't have to, like, agree on everything. We don't have to like the same sports team. We don't have to have the same religion. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, I've gotten along with plenty of people that don't even speak the same language as me. You know what I mean? It's easy to get along with people.
Yeah, it is. More people have stuff in common than they have different. We're all, you know, human beings at the end of the day.
Yeah. Let me see. I got a little clip for you, because I think that to cheer you up, this is a good little, this is the end song. So I took a little clip of it, because this cracks me up every time I hear it. So this is the new Joe Biden, the hit song, Build Back Better.
For a better life beyond your freedom, build back better for someone else.
Yeah, they got a whole song. It's like 2 minutes, man. It's pretty funny, man. It's not their song. It's a parody song, obviously. It's like, it's pretty funny though, man. I think that, like, I just hope that, like, we can start having conversations and dialogue. You know what I mean? Like, what me and you are doing. Like, we don't agree on everything. We don't have, like, we have similar ideologies. And even some people that follow my page, like, it's not about agreeing. Like, it's about trying to learn. Like, I'm learning every day. I don't know. Like, you think I know everything? I don't know anything. Like, none of us know anything. And I think the more we interact with each other, the more humanize each other, because what I'm seeing a lot of on both sides is dehumanizing each other. Like, people were dehumanizing people during the BLM protests, and people are dehumanizing people during this. So what they're doing is they're like, oh, it's okay if that happens to them. Like, it doesn't matter. And it's hard to be the bigger person. So I think, like, that's the hard part, is figuring out who's going to build the bridge. And I think
censorship's not going to help with any of that. Oh, no. Especially when you're having whole swathes of ideological, you know, perspectives wiped from platforms on social media. So we need less censorship, if anything. You know, we need to actually be able to have these conversations and dialogue.
Well, like, what we need to do, too, is...
You don't want that, I don't think.
Is you got to promote it, man. We got to start doing our own shit. Like, you can get a Mastodon server. Right. You could pay $9.99 a month. You could tell all your family and friends and people you want to join. You can have, like, you know, your own little social network of just your people. Like, you can still check the news on other things. And then when you're on social media, you know it's going to be that inner circle. Like, I think we interact with a lot of people we don't know sometimes. And especially, like you said, you could take a text wrong easy, man. Like, sometimes people could be agreeing with you and you're, like, jumping down their throat. And they're like, what? Like, it's because of how you take it, how you read it. Like, you didn't hear it. You didn't feel their interaction.
Yep, exactly.
But I think, like I said, now we got a lot of the coronaviruses a little bit ramping up. The Capitol thing kind of like took everything, mainly. That was the main attention. Oh, someone calling.
I wasn't. Hey, you're back.
Okay, cool. Yeah, like, you know, you got the. Now that what is that whole thing about the China extends reach into the Caribbean?
That's actually an older article. It's from 2019, but kind of goes along with the Belt and Road Initiative, but it kind of flew under the radar for me. I didn't know about this, and they're just like offering a lot of like very low interest loans to various governments in the Caribbean. They've been doing this in Latin America and South America as well, and just kind of part of their expansion onto the global stage and trying to influence the, you know, the world as a whole, and they're being pretty effective with it. Yeah. I feel like it's kind of worrying them having that much access to parts of the world that are very close to us. But I feel like they've kind of justified it because of our influence on Taiwan, which is right there on their doorstep as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think that we got to pay attention to China, but most importantly, because what happens there is probably going to what's happened here. Like, that whole Hong Kong national security law, they say 53 former opposition lawmakers, activists arrested, authorities accused them of plot to overthrow government. I think that that's the game plan, because, like, think about it. That's the same thing they did with the Uyghur people, but America can't do that. They can't go after a certain race. They can't go after, like, they could kind of like they'd go after the races, but like, they got to make it look like, even though, you know what I mean? Like, it's all a show, you know, they like, even international, when you go blow up a country, you can't just be like, blow up a country. You got to be like, oh, I got to go over there because this guy did a thing. You know what I mean? Like, you got to like make something up. So that's what they do. They try to, like, that's why, yeah. like in black neighborhoods, they'll, you see, go, that it's, you know, all fucked up.
There's a power vacuum. We need to stabilize the region and install a friendly government.
Yeah, that's, they take out, like,
the colonialist line at this point.
Yeah, they do. That's what people don't see. I was like, dude, they're attacking American citizens all the time. Like, it might not be a physical attack, but you attack the economy. You do something to that little economy of that city, that town. Like, that's the whole reason things happen. Like, they don't want anything bigger than what they have because they are the corporation. That's the fight. It's not, like, people always want to say communist, socialist. It's not about that to me. Me, personally, I think it's about corporatism. Like, because that's everything, that everything's like, okay, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Make money. It's because... there's so much, only so much money you can make, you know? It's about control and owning land, and how are we going to dictate how people should live? This is what I think. This is the future. This is, you know what I mean? Pushing these agendas because now they have nothing else.
Yeah.
And we're the new play toy.
Definitely. But I feel like tied to it, there's a lot of, you know, connections between the corporate establishment, the super corporations, and various world governments. You kind of see that with the Chinese, you see it with our government. The one thing that I don't think I found the article for in time, I was trying to look for it, I saw like a screenshot of it, but was the Communist Party of China is, you know, through proxy corporations, is buying up land in Oklahoma, like, big ranches out there for like 2 to 3 times the actual value. So that was another crazy story I wanted to add.
But, like, again, it's, like, just because in China, too, it's the same thing, you know, like, they have a lower class and a middle class, and I think they're going to be, like, you can be in the middle class if, And I think that's what their model, because China has the perfect model. Like, for if you're into authoritarianism, like, China's perfect. Like, that's like the perfect system, because you're like, yeah, the people just kind of keep themselves in check. Because we have a social credit score, so people rat on each other. People, like, you know, give – I don't know how they do it exactly. I know that if you get a ticket, that tallies it. Anything that has to do with the government obviously is going to tally it. But then there's ways that neighbors can call cops on you, things like that, and kind of dink your score. And, like, they show them. They have a billboard of the top and the worst. Like, so they shame people. So people are shamed. So they're like, oh, look at you with your – so they perceive them right away. They have a low credit score, right? So they go, oh, look at this guy with his low credit score. He's always doing nothing, up to no good. You know what I mean? They don't know why. And they already have, and that's what's going to be. And then they're training us with this cancel culture, and people are already, like, they're right on board. Like, it's hard to, I don't know how to derail some of these people, because, like, they just can't see it. And it sucks, because a lot of them have good intentions.
Yeah, there was a couple stories. I think we had one of them in there was, a family member of some people that were in the Capitol building were reported, you know, by a relative because they recognized them off, like, the news or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then the FBI was putting out these images of people they wanted information on. And it's like, we were already seeing people in within families snitching on each other to the state. So it's pretty worrying.
But I will say, man, conservatives were, like, not worried about when they were snatching people up in Portland with non-marked vehicles. And I was like, dude, that is, like – and they were like, yeah, they were cheering it on. And I was like, do not cheer that on, man. It's the same thing. And, like, it's like, dude, these are things that you don't cheer on, man. I don't care if that's not your try or not, man. That's going to be used against all of us. And, unfortunately, people fall into those traps sometimes. Because it gets
when it favors their side, one way or the other, kind of cheering on an increased police state is always a yikes situation, really.
Especially this year, you know, people were really battling, like, online and in person. Like, people were really putting their, like, you know, this was a pretty, like, intense election. Like, people were, like, not just proud, but people, it was, like, in your face, like, who you were voting for a lot of times, you know, and people had conflict. So I think these constant conflicts dragged over. So when you get a little victory, you just take it, you know? You're like, oh, yeah, I got one. Even though you don't realize that it's going to inflict you as well, but you just took it because you're like, finally, I got one. You know what I mean? And that's why I try to warn people. I was like, man, that's why it doesn't matter. Like, you should be negotiating with those people because, obviously, the groups are what matters, you know what I mean? Because, obviously, people want to be in tribes, like, in a perfect world, I wish we didn't have to be into this tribalism mentality, but it seems like we've fallen right back into it, you know? Like, wherever you lie. And for some of us, we're just kind of like all up. Like, for me, I don't even know where I land, man, honestly. Like, I don't really have a tribe, man. Just, like, humans, I guess.
But yeah, I think it's better to be kind of Ronin, you know, just repping yourself. You don't have any masters.
Yeah.
I feel like that personally is what I want for myself. As much as possible. There's always a lot of obstacles in modern life, like, that stand in your way for that. But I'd rather not be tagged in with other groups personally. Just it seems like there's a lot of risk with that these days.
Well, plus, like, because I'm like, I can't be in a group because I'm going to say one group believes every single thing it's impossible. Like, I have my own ideology that's maybe similar to people's, but there's certain things that I disagree with people. And it's never going to be full. Like, this whole, like, oh yeah, well, you believe a couple, like, no, man, we just got to vote for what's going to be beneficial and the smart, we got to start thinking of smart ideas, how to fix the economy, instead of just hoping that we vote somebody in that hopefully he knows. Even though he didn't say anything about the economy the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, we have to be more educated. It's on us. Like, we're voting these people in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, Biden did say stuff on – are you talking about Biden, right?
Biden? No, I'm just saying in general, all politicians. Okay. I'm saying, yeah.
For me, it's like, at this point, we need to have a conversation about opening up the economy, entirely, I think. But
well, now where they want to do more masking, the new variant –
the lockdowns are just going to get more stringent. Oh, yeah. They're seeing that already.
And then they get to push out a lot of the facial recognition even more with this domestic terrorist thing. That's why, like, if you see, like, Alex Jones is pissed. He's pissed that people, like, And I understand his point because I do agree, like, it's more powerful standing on the steps of the Capitol than going in. It's more powerful, unless you're actually going to invade. You know what I mean? Like, it's more powerful because you're just trying to send a message. But I think that the people that got in were a mix of, like, people that were just, like, too far gone, instigators that were, you know what I mean, trying to make trouble, and then just, like, some regular-ass Joes that were just like, yeah, like, and drunk, people drunk. That's what I think, because I'm sure there was a lot of drinking going on in there.
Yeah, there's always that potential. There's definitely quite a few that were swept up with the crowd.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think I even saw, like, there was one or two confirmed Antifa characters that were there. As they, one of them said that he was observing, but from some of the video footage I saw, it was kind of instigating some stuff as well. So there's a mixed crowd, that's for sure. There's quite a few different actors there.
And it's just, like I said, it just was very, very peculiar, man. Like, we've never seen that. And I know they want to compare it to the BLM protest, but I'm comparing it to every single protest. Like I said, the 2007 protest where the vets, the same thing, they had force. It's like, it doesn't make sense when you know that there's going to be at least 100,000 people or more, and you know that they're pissed off because you know all this. So, like, you're telling me that we're that, then we're fucked, because, like, if we can't get that part together, then I don't know how we go forward. Because if you can't do a simple thing like, hey, just make sure they don't get in, like, they can do that at concerts. Like, concerts make sure that people don't climb on speakers. Like, come on, man, you could easily, and if you have people standing out there, they're not going to go in. What you did was the people were kind of riled up, and then you let them in, and then knuckleheads will be knuckleheads. And it was just a funny, like, and it was just so fitting, man. I thought it was funny. Like, that's why I think I tripped
out. I did, too. I was laughing, dude. I was laughing. Until I heard about, that much, like, in a while. Is once they got in, they didn't know what to do. You know, they're going in and just taking selfies and, you know, for the photo op at that point. I think there was, I've heard some stories that there were some people in there that actually were seizing people's, their senators and representatives' laptops and stuff, but I'm not sure how realistic that narrative is.
Well, my friend, it looks like, unfortunately, because I don't know why other people could get that, like, they don't let us go more than an hour. Not, other people get the 4-hour limit, but I don't know why we don't. But everybody, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Sunday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm Sean Chris, Sebastian Farr. This is Kill the Mockingbird Truth Report. Peace out, y'all. Inside.